So let's talk about this other issue where the mayor has said that if you come to the city of Chicago from this whole list of states, and Iowa and Oklahoma were just added to the list, I think yesterday, you now have to self-quarantine for 14 days. That's the new rule. And I think the Oklahoma governor just today, hours ago, they announced that he has gotten COVID-19. So I guess they're looking and monitoring states all across the country, and they're adding to the list all the time. They said they're actually looking right now. The mayor and governor both said they're looking at Midwestern states like Wisconsin to see if they will extend it to that state. So it is the reality. Tough to enforce. We've talked about this before with Karen Conti, but there's some other interesting issues to explore here. Hey, Karen, how you doing today?
Good morning, or good afternoon, I guess.
What is it? Is it busy again for attorneys? Are you guys getting busy again?
It's crazy. Well, in my line of work, which is family law generally, it's crazy. People are getting divorced and they want out. And again, I don't know if it's just being self-reflective and figuring out what they want in life, or if they're just getting on each other's nerves. I'm just not sure.
I can see that area would. Have those been going throughout this stay-at-home order and stuff? Or did that stuff stay mostly?
Yes. You know, we can get a lot done. You know, 99% of all cases are settled. Very few go to trial. So we can get a lot done by negotiating and talking. And if we absolutely have to have a judge, we can set it up and we do it via Zoom. It's not easy, but we do it. And things are getting done. And I think lawyers are just being a little bit more open to negotiation because it's so hard to get somebody to rule on your case.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that sort of flooding. I was hearing from my doctor's office that they are now super flooded with everybody saying, hey, you know, it's time. I want to come back now. And
right,
a lot of those offices, too, are getting that. Those people who stayed home and just didn't, you know, put things off are now coming on in and taking care of business. I want to ask you, though, Karen, this quarantine list for the city, it's not the state, it's the city, has just extended to two new states. We got Iowa, neighboring Iowa, the first neighboring state, and then Oklahoma added to the list. Already, just to go through it here, Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, Nevada, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah, all on that list. So if you go to those, you got to self-quarantine, the mayor says, when you come back. Now, again, we talked about this when this list first came out in, I think it was early July sometime, the initial list, that it's a tough thing to enforce, isn't it? I mean, how do you enforce it?
Yeah, it is tough to enforce, and I think that they know, first of all, we don't have the resources to enforce. Second of all, I don't know that the police are really interested in doing that and getting in between when they have other things to do, like investigate murders that are going on in the city of Chicago. And I think that it's going to be very hard to do it. I have understood, though, that in some states like New York and Hawaii, which have had pretty serious quarantine rules very much like ours, what they're doing is the government is looking at airline flights, people coming in, and then they're going on social media to see if they're posting at places other than what looks to be a resident. And so they are then going out and investigating as to whether or not these people are actually isolating themselves. So there's someone policing this, and I hope it doesn't come to that, but that's one way to do it.
So you're hearing that people in some states are actually looking at social media?
Yes, they're figuring out who's coming in. Now, this doesn't include people who are driving, because I don't know how you would do that, but they're looking at airplane records, and they must be getting from the airports, and figuring out who's coming in from the states that are prohibited, and then, you know, figuring out where they are and if they're quarantined. So, you know, there is a way to do it. It's just that seems to take a lot of resources.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, that's what they really need to do. I know I heard New York said that they're looking for out-of-state license plates, and they've asked New York police to stop you if you do have an out-of-state plate and ask you a question, and you can face like a couple $1,000 fine. It's that message is pretty loud and clear, and their self-quarantine list is growing and growing, too. So lots of states doing it.
And Hawaii, for good reason, it's a little bit easier to determine who's coming in because there's no driving across the ocean. So and they're doing it very actively, and it's a misdemeanor there, and there's thousands of dollars of fines, and people are actually being assessed there, but their numbers are way, way down just for that reason.
So what's the basis for a state or a city to have this kind of quarantine or travel ban? I don't know if you can call it that, whatever it is, this quarantine order.
Yeah, the government, okay, that generally speaking, the Constitution governs, you know, the federal government. And it says specifically in the Constitution that anything that's not designated to the federal government goes to the states. So the states have really great power. It's called the police power. And they can make regulations to keep people safe. They can make regulations that you don't smoke in public. They can make regulations that you have to wear a seatbelt or a motorcycle helmet. So these are things that have been in place for centuries, right? And in times of great public health issues, they certainly have the ability to quarantine people. And they've done this throughout the years during the various flu epidemics. Ebola is one where they had some states had some laws about people coming into the state. So this is clearly something that the local governments can do. Absolutely. And I hear a lot of people talking on the street saying, this is unconstitutional. Well, generally speaking, you have a right to travel. That is one of your rights in this country. But it gets trumped, no pun intended, by the police power when there is a pandemic like there is right now. So the only limitation on what the government can do is that this cannot be arbitrary, oppressive, or unreasonable. Those are the three words. So arbitrary. So the states that are affected, there's a reason why those are on the list. They're the states where the numbers are going up. So that's not arbitrary. Oppressive, telling someone they have to stay in for 14 days, given the fact that this is a virus that is affected by, you know, within a 14-day period, it seems to me that that's a reasonable and not oppressive order. Obviously, no one wants to be at home for 14 days without leaving, but this is geared towards stopping this epidemic.
All right, well, that leads me to another question, because if it can't be arbitrary, oppressive, or unreasonable, I wonder, today all the news conferences from the governor and the mayor and public health officials were pointing out a certain age group responsible for the surge, 20 to 29. I'm not suggesting we do this, but I'm just wondering, would it be okay for a state to ban people in an age range? Could it go that far?
It probably could. You know, and there would be a stronger argument that was arbitrary, because it could be that, you know, it goes both ways here. They're spreading it, but they're also probably not the people who are dying from it. Right. And again, it doesn't matter, because if you're spreading it, you know, it's not good for anybody.
But you're not overloading the healthcare system, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think that people, you know, we as a people in this country have so much freedom and so many good things because of our Constitution and because of our history. And I think that, you know, people just need to understand that this is not forever, and this is something that needs to be done on a collective basis. We hardly ever give up our freedoms for anything. I mean, what are we obligated to do? Pay our taxes, serve in the military if we're called once every few hundred years, maybe vote, serve on a jury. I mean, those are, we are not asked to do a lot of things. So this, to me, is something we just need to sit down and do it, and not fight about it and argue that it's unconstitutional or illegal, because we're not going anywhere with that argument.
And they're saying that it might even extend it to, they're looking at Wisconsin.
Exactly.
They're monitoring Midwestern states right now to see if they want to extend it farther and farther. Does it seem like I can't understand how it gets enforced, and it just feels as if it's actually almost hard to keep track now. If you do plan to even take a road trip or something, or go to Lake Geneva for the weekend, or Michigan, I mean, you got to make sure you're checking this list.
Well, right, and what if you take off? Like, for instance, I was thinking of heading up there tomorrow morning to my house in Wisconsin. Do I do it? Because once I'm there and I come back, you know, I'm going to be stuck with what the law says. So. Yeah, it's tricky for everybody, that's for sure.
Can you hang on for a minute, Karen? I just want to
sure.
Circle back on something, because I'm wondering, if I'm an employer, do I have an obligation to make sure that my employees who are traveling, that I'm finding out about that? Or if I'm an employee, if I work for a company, am I supposed to say, hey, you know what, I was in Iowa, I was just there and visiting family, now I'm coming back, can I come into work? Do you have to, are you obligated to talk about that? I want to ask you about that. And
sure.
In just a minute. And then if you have thoughts on this, please weigh in. 312-981-7200. Your thoughts on the city's quarantine orders from states. And it's a growing list of states all the time. We'll talk about it, pick up the conversation on the other side of this. I just think this quarantine order, are they giving people enough time to get back? Did it go into effect immediately after they announced it? I know they just said yesterday, hey, we're going to say add Iowa and Oklahoma to this very long list of states. Do you get time to get back, or is it pretty much immediate?
Oh, they should, and I think they gave us a little time with some of the other states, but who knows? I mean, this is chaotic, really. And frankly, you know, it's not good for the world, you know, that we live in to see this, because to me, if you're going to issue a law, and this is pretty serious law, I mean, this is a pretty restrictive thing, you want to make sure that it's enforceable, and we know it isn't. And why? I think it just causes disrespect for the law when you can just flout it and not have any consequence. I also think it's causing people to fight. I know that in other states I have heard these stories where neighbors are calling on their neighbors. I know he was in California and he just got back from a business trip and I saw him go out to Kmart, you know. So this is not what we should be doing, and it's causing friction between and among people in general.
Yeah, the mayor was asked about it, and she agreed. She acknowledged that it is largely an honor system. It's kind of on your honor. But she seemed to think that people, nonetheless, were adhering to it. She didn't feel like there were a ton of violators here in the city. And just by putting out the word that we're not welcoming you unless you quarantine, maybe it is that process you're describing, Karen, that people are turning each other in. It's a really sad state of affairs, but this is what's happening. That maybe that's sort of like, you know, kind of telling people, you know, think twice before you come here. Maybe it is working, is doing what she intends.
Well, right, and I think that generally speaking, people are good law-abiding people. Nobody wants to violate the law for whatever reason, whether, you know, you don't want to fight or, you know, no one wants to go to jail or be fined. So, yeah, it's compliance, and if this is going to help in the long run, I do agree that it's a good thing. It's just that, again, it just causes a whole side order of problems in the enforcement and also in the irregularity. You know, if you're not enforcing it against this guy, then why should I comply? Why should I be the only person non-complying? In fact, I think we talked about this, but I had a friend on an airplane, and people started taking off their masks, and the other people said, well, if you're taking yours off, I'm taking mine off. And by the time the flight was over, most of the people had their masks off in an enclosed airplane, which is super dangerous.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the problem.
Hey, Karen, I do want to get to the employer-employee question, but we've got a number of phone calls, and some of them are questions I think that you'll be able to answer and sort things out for folks. So let's go to Carl. Carl, go ahead. You're on WGN. Got a question?
Carl, right out of the box. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Karen.
Hi.
Guys, or ladies, I'm sorry. I have a friend who's going to be going to California in less than 2 weeks, and she's a little panicky right now. She does not live in the city of Chicago. She lives in the western suburbs. Does she need to be concerned on any level?
Okay. You know, the question is it going to go statewide? Are we going to have our governor issue that same sort of order that Mayor Lightfoot did? So I think, you know, the best thing for her to do is just to keep her ear, you know, to what's going on here and to figure out if that's coming down the pipe, because you would think that it wouldn't just be issued without any warning, that if the governor is thinking about that there'd be some heads up on this.
But just an extension of Carl's question, let's say you live in the suburbs, you plan to spend your time in the suburbs, but you're flying through O'Hare. I mean, I don't know. Is that Chicago? If you want to be all technical about it, is that what you're supposed to do? Quarantine? I don't know.
That's a good question. So, you know, so technically you probably couldn't even fly through O'Hare, you know.
Here we go. Right. Thank you, Carl. I hope that helps. I hope she has a safe flight. Hey, Kim, go ahead. You're on WGN. Let's hear from you on this.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Karen. And I have been listening to you for a long time and really appreciate hearing your feedback. But I'm a registered nurse, and I believe that as long as everybody would just keep wearing a mask, and that's what I've been doing since March, if I'm ever near anybody. And then I also think we need to change the branding to physical distancing and not social. But I've maintained that distance, so I believe that the law is putting me, when they're saying quarantine for 2 weeks, I've been quarantined since March because that's what I've been doing, even though they told us not to wear a mask. I already knew that it was airborne because viruses are airborne. So I guess I have no rights because I've been quarantined on my own. I have been out and about, but I always wear a mask or I maintain 6 feet of distance.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's a good point, that this is kind of a doubling down on people. And like you said, if people are coming in from other states and they were just wearing a mask, that would take care of the problem. The problem is that people aren't doing what you're doing and abiding by the law and being safe. And so that's, you know, again, this might be a Hail Mary. This might just be, let's try everything we possibly can to get this thing to stop. And, you know, again, I hear your pain on that. Like, you know, why restrict you even further when you've been the one who's complying?
Yeah. Thank you, Kim, for that call. I want to try to get one more in
here.
Kelly has maybe a question, or you have something to say here, Kelly. Go ahead. You're on WG.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. I was just kind of curious, if I have, my spouse is an essential worker in the food industry where he needs to travel around and manage production in different locations in the Midwest. And so what does that mean for me if I want to work in the city? We're in the same household. Does it really impact in a way that we're still kind of needing to quarantine in such a way? So
that's a great question.
Kind of my question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically, probably wouldn't apply to you. It would apply to him. I hear what you're saying. If he's going out of the state and he's coming in, maybe he has to quarantine technically. But does that mean that you, too, have to quarantine? I don't think that applies to everybody in your household. But, gosh, you know, you're right. If you're sitting there with him and if he might have been exposed to it, then, you know, you should probably be quarantined, too. But that's not what the law says.
Yeah. Hey, Karen, I want a related question to that. Thanks, Kelly, for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
thanks, Kelly.
For your question was, initially I thought when the quarantine order came out that they said if you were an essential worker, you needed to travel, like you're a nurse or doctor, or if you were an essential business, that you could be excluded. Is that your understanding?
You know, that is what I understood, but again, I'm not exactly sure because I haven't read the law. And again, who's an essential worker? I mean, you know, and what does that mean? Does that mean if you're going for work, it's okay to come back and not quarantine? And, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if that's being applied either.
I'm looking at a story here that says there are exceptions from the initial ban or the initial order early July. It says there are exceptions to the order, including essential work and medical travel. So medical travel was another one like that. But you're right. I mean, how that gets applied and who, you know, who falls under those categories, I guess, could be left open to some interpretation. I just want to make sure we have time to get to the employee-employer thing here, too, because I'm just wondering if you, as an employer, are you, you know, supposed to be figuring out if your employees travel? Are you, if you do find out, are you obligated to do something about it? And then I guess the other side of that is, if you're a worker, do you have to, you know, should you be reporting it?
I don't think that an employer has a legal duty to do something about an employee who they know was outside the state. I don't, in a prohibited state, I don't think that there's a legal obligation, but perhaps the employer is going to say, listen, I know that person is violating the law by coming here. And what if someone, you know, what if the whole workplace gets COVID and it's tagged because of this person bringing it in from somewhere else? I am going to be accused of negligence in the workplace here. So I might want to enforce that quarantine, tell the person to stay at home for 14 days, knowing that I could be exposed from a civil liability standpoint.
Mm-hmm. But then the employee, do they have any responsibility to say, hey, I can't come in for that meeting, or I can't be, you know, do that round in the office because I was in Florida or I was out of town, you know, one of these states?
You know, and if you say that, can you be fired for that? That's a really good question, because it could be that that is that's something that you can't be fired for, because it would be against public policy to fire somebody for honoring the law. You see what I'm saying? You want to encourage the employer to accommodate somebody who's you know, complying with the law and keeping the world safe. So my guess is that if an employer fired you for honoring that quarantine, you might get your job back or be able to win a lawsuit if you're so inclined.
Mm-hmm. 312 says, what if someone in your household travels? Does everyone in your home have to self-quarantine? That's sort of what we just heard, but you said it really just applies to the traveler.
That's what I think. I understand the question, because why shouldn't it apply to everybody in your household? Although, where does it end?
You know? Where does it end? That's a great question.
Yeah, the mailman comes to the door. Now is he quarantined? So
yeah, I mean, we have all kinds of questions here, and that's what these things lead to. It becomes, you know, everyone wants to feel like they are doing the right thing, but what violation is okay? Here's someone saying, can I take a road trip from Chicago to Yellowstone this month, or will I be stopped somewhere? I don't think they have like Border Patrol or anything like that, do they? I mean, there's nothing like that.
No, there's nothing like that. It's just, you just have to be aware that it could be that a state pops up on the no travel list, and that when you're coming back, technically you could be violating the law if you don't self-quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Another kind of tricky ones here. Hey, Ann, I have a question about traveling to and from another state. My aunt was coming here. She's only going to be here for 10 days, then fly back. That doesn't even meet the 14-day quarantine. What the heck do we do? See, Karen, this is why there are lawyers, and find lawyers like you, because somehow you can sort this stuff out, and I wouldn't know what to do in these situations either. Like, what? What?
Well, and we're, again, uncharted ground. So it's like, that's a great question. And, you know, if this happened over a period of time, there probably would be instances where this happened and there was an enforcement and the court ruled on it. But there's no precedent for any of this stuff, right?
Thank God we have you, Karen, because you made it very clear what we do know, at least, on this whole thing. And that's awfully helpful. So thanks for calling in, Karen.
All right. You guys all take care.